Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, we will talk baseball with Steve Stone, which would be a lot more pleasant of a conversation than recent conversations with Stoney about the White Sox, because the White Sox are... This Detroit team is... Oh, they are terrible. I will ask Matt Spiegel about that momentarily. But we will do that on tomorrow's show. We'll also get you ready for the Cubs game tomorrow and probably talk maybe a little bit of Stanley Cup Final and NBA Finals. Parkins and Spiegel have got you from now until 6 o'clock. Matt Spiegel, why is that Detroit team so bad?
The team OPS under 600 is pretty bad.
Yeah, that'll do it.
As a team, man, 594, well below Oakland and Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Those are the worst offenses. And then the rotation was supposed to be the strength, and rotation's pretty bad. Casey Mize is now hurt and going to get surgery. Other than Tarik Skubal, that rotation's been pretty bad. But, I mean, you know, Tanny's the one. The pre-show meeting, our guy Chris Tannehill saying, yeah, they kind of have that we're just going to quit vibe going right now. Like, oh, you're down 3-0? That's good enough. Okay. All right, we'll get out of here then. Let's go ahead and get out of here. It's a home
we
game.
We tried for one out.
Yeah.
We tried, and it didn't work out for us. So we're just going to – you guys can just take this sweep and get on with the rest of your lives is what you can do. Danny,
it's funny, though, bad. Like, say again?
They're stinky bad.
Oh, they're terrible. It's 9-0 right now, and it feels like it could be 19-0. You know, the adage of it's not who you play but when you play them – this was a nice break in the schedule. Like, not just opponents, but location. White Sox needed to get on the road. Like, after playing the good teams and having the dysfunction and having the national embarrassments and the headlines and the fire Tony chants, like, letting the momentum of that anger that was just building, let that, you know, get forgotten about a little bit, out of sight, out of mind. People get out and about in the city, get their suntan on, have the team come home with a nice little winning road trip. That's gonna do wonders, I think, for the mood around Guaranteed Rate when this team returns back home. I'm not saying they're out of the woods yet on it.
No,
all.
No, they're not, because the next trip is to Houston. So
yeah.
they're not out of the woods.
But imagine. Imagine if after the series with the Fire Tony chants, they had a home series against Houston. You know, like if Fire Tony wasn't at the end of a homestand, I felt like it could have really built to some sort of breaking point. I feel like it was a nice little break to get away. They whether it was Detroit or elsewhere, just getting away from the home crowd, I think, was good for this team right now.
That Astros series will be quite the challenge. That is a very well-run organization. Dusty has been really good and forward-thinking, obviously, and they're still good. Verlander's a beast. Are they going to get him? I think they are, because Verlander went, I believe, two nights ago. And they just put up a sixth spot in the first inning of their game today. Yordan Alvarez is hitting .500 over the last 20 games. Like, him and Paul Goldschmidt are battling for the hottest bat in the game. But, yeah, man, these Tigers, it's probably going to be the worst offense since the Second World War in MLB. That's what these Tigers are looking at.
I feel really bad watching Javier Baez battle. He's one of my favorite players. Seeing him, and last night was a great example. DJ brought this up on the radio broadcast of it. That watching his first at bat, where he did all of the things that you'd want him to do, where it's like, oh, I'm gonna look at some pitches, which is not in my profile, and then I'm gonna get to a 3-2 count, and then I'm going to strike out, and you could almost see him go, all right, I tried it your way, now I'm gonna do it my way, and then the next at bat. Is him just swinging at anything that's even close to home plate and just throwing his bat at it. And I just imagine he's fighting demons inside of his head. And he's just like, I'm good, right? Like, I'm really good. No, I'm not that good. And it used to be that he could cover fastballs, if nothing else. And seeing him get dominated by a 97-mile-per-hour fastball in the zone, I was like, oh, that guy's completely lost, and I don't know if anyone can help him.
I did not feel bad. I felt tremendous relief because loved him when he was here. But, man, so frustrating as an offensive player. And they gave him $140 million. And the Cubs got one of the top prospects in their system for trading him, and they're better off without him because he got to this point doing it his way. He became a legend in this town, and he will be a beloved Cub forever. And when he retires and comes back to Wrigley and they retire his number or they do the statue dedication or whatever he gets, like, he's an all-time fan favorite Cub, and I'll be there giving him a standing ovation. But, whew. I am glad that team that I root for is not paying him $140 million for his 30s. Thrilled.
We've watched him so many different times, you know, battle with himself and really be a project for everybody. Joe Maddon did a great job trying to reach him, trying to talk to him, encouraging him. That positivity was a really good thing. The way that Joe went about it, but we saw a guy battle, you know, time and time again with his own identity. The thing is, when he does swing harder than anyone you've ever seen and does connect and it goes 460 and it feels so good, it's just so addictive, man. So addictive to him, and he can't stop thinking that he can do that again. And sometimes he does. He did it just enough where it mattered, and it took a lot of pressure from Joe in a positive sort of sneaky way, the perceived pressure of his teammates trying to do the right thing and the possibility of winning. It took a lot of different factors to get Javi to look at a few more pitches per plate appearance and try to go the other way and all of that. And it just doesn't look like it's happening at all. Now,
nope.
It's just not.
You know his OPS?
At all.
Was his OPS 519. Like 500?
Oh. 519.
It's crazy, man. And he's
it's just him, man. Like he'll have a hot month. He'll have a hot stretch, I'm sure, at some point. But it's 53 strikeouts against 9 walks.
He's like with Miggy, just, too, man.
That's what he is.
And Miggy's the dude who's made his whole life and still is hitting it the other way. Granted, his bat is not fast enough to pull it anymore, but, you know, he's with the king of the opposite field as a right-handed hitter, and he knows it. How many times have been told in his life, hey, there's so much goodness out there, and he's seen it. He's seen it when he gets hot, but there's something in his particular brand of batter's anxiety that is not controllable. It's just not.
And I do wonder, like, what does the financial ramifications of something like this, does it play on you where you feel like you have to do more?
Yeah,
than
it adds more pressure. Absolutely.
Than you're capable of doing. And I always love, because when Joe would come onto the show, you could pretty much, like, predict how things were going to go with Javi, because it would be Javi struggling. Well, he's got to take his walks. Then he would take walks or a walk. And then you'd see him start to plop balls in the right field. And then you knew, oh, well, we're about to go on a bench where Javier Baez hits five balls like 500 feet to left field. And then after that bench, he's going to be right back where he was before he started taking walks. It is this valley that he's in right now. I wish someone could reach him because he's so talented. I really wish someone could reach him because I just feel like I'm watching a guy with an immense amount of talent squander it to a certain degree.
Weird comparison here and not at all similar in terms of personality type or likability. Jay Cutler vibes.
Yeah.
My thing with Cutler was always that guy has unbelievable talent, but the mistakes he made when he was 24 were the mistakes that he made at 34.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you take Jay Cutler and drop him into a combine and you go, oh my God. Danny, I remember when I was covering the Bears and the Bears played the Broncos at Soldier Field. It was a wild, wild game at Soldier Field. And I remembered watching Jay Cutler that Sunday and being in the press box being like, man, I wish the Bears had one of those. Where you see a guy that has all of these tools and is a weapon and has got the legs and seems to have moxie and he's got arm strength. And then seeing it up close and what it manifested into was, you're right, like it's incredibly disappointing. Because if you were building up a quarterback, like all of the physical traits that Jay Cutler had were the things that you wanted your quarterback to be. And the same thing with Javier Baez, where you go, oh, all right, really good instincts for the game, great arm, great glove, power, out of this world. But that fatal flaw like keeps him from being the player that he could be.
It's too bad because the energy is so great and the instincts are so great in the field and on the base paths, and he still makes plays that a lot of other people can't make in the field, and it's just he plays with a joy and an instinct that's so great. But the color comp is good. I always think of, you know, Mark Trestman, of all people, when describing a terrible Jay play, said Jay just kind of sometimes loses himself a little bit out there as he's running with the ball, is when Trestman was talking about it. But it's that same thing. It's just a little bit of panic, right? Just a touch of panic. And it's such a fine line. It doesn't take much panic or much anxiety to make you look ridiculous in pro sports.
And arrogance and ego have negative connotations, but the greats need to have it.
Yes.
In sports or any industry. And I do think with both of them, there is something to, they reached incredible highs at incredibly young ages with their flaws, doing it their way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Javi Baez is an NLCS MVP, a World Series hero, a beloved fan favorite, making tens of millions of dollars, and then signs a $140 million contract. Like, Javi Baez, doing it his way, if he never adjusts, will earn over $200 million playing baseball and have a World Series ring and be a hero in arguably the greatest city in the world.
And a top five MVP finish.
And Jay Cutler, Pro Bowl at 24, 120-something million-dollar contract, long career, you know, celebrity wife for a time, nationally famous, like eight-figure TV deals thrown at him, like, doing it his way. Like, do those guys look at it as a flaw? Do they look at it as not maximizing their potential, or do they look at it as my way was good enough to put me in the 1% of the 1%, not just financially, but in my field?
It's
on sheer natural raw talent. You know, like, we look at Shaq and be like, dude should have had eight titles. He's like, I got $800 million and I won four. I'm good. Like, I think that there's something to, we can point out the flaws in these guys and them being like, yeah, okay, I can't hit the slider low and away, but I can hit the ball 500 feet when it's over the middle.
That's true. And it's interesting comp that a texter makes with Baez and Tim Anderson, where you have this guy that has the raw materials in Tim Anderson, and you can tell that the work's been put in, and he also took to coaching. And I don't know if that's because of, if it's something that's personality-wise or something that maybe goes along with being a point guard, where he took to the coaching. He was like, oh, I can just like get hits over there too? Like, I don't have to hit it over here? All right, well, let's see how that works. And it ends up working really well for him. I guess you're right, Danny. Like, that it's how they perceive it. But that ego that you were talking about, and the ego that does get most of the people to these spaces, in Jay's case, when it blew up in the worst ways. Like the D'Angelo Hall game, where it's like, I'm going to allow my ego to try and chase this guy who's talking junk and try to make him look bad. And in it, I make myself look like an absolute clown by giving him the best day that he's ever had as a football player.
Yeah, and Jay ran out of goodwill because of the other stuff. You know, like, it, fatal flaw or not, he didn't win big, and he was perceived to be a jerk. Whereas Javi, beloved.
Yeah.
Forever.
Crowd loves you. Somebody went and screamed that at him.
Said the crowd loves you, Javi.
And they were right. They were right when they screamed that at him.
And they always will. Wrigley will always love Javi. But I don't know if it's like cold or whatever, but I'm thrilled he's not a Cub. Thrilled. He doesn't adjust. He doesn't adapt. It's not going to be the guy who ages well. And listen, hand up, I wanted them to sign Bryant. And so far, that's going horribly. So maybe I'll end up being wrong on that one if I was right on Javi. But I think Detroit is going to regret that contract, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, some things have to coalesce to get him to change the mindset. And he had the circumstances here and doesn't seem to have it there.
And like, what incentive does he have now? Like, once he got paid, and if the team isn't good... I mean, personal pride, of course, wanting to get better at your craft, but, like, I don't know. A lot of the normal incentives that would get people to change or be humbled have been taken away from him through no fault of his own.
Yeah, the thing about T.A. is that he loves hitting the ball hard, and he doesn't mind if he hits it the other way hard and it's, you know, on the ground or it's a liner. Like, that he gets that satisfaction, and the home runs are happenstance. Javi wants to hit bombs, man. He just wants to hit bombs and blasts, and that's what he's addicted to. So it's like a TA happily accepts a double the other way, or he will turn on one and rip one to left. And he's got superb hand-eye coordination. Javi obviously does, but it's a mindset thing and what you want. The whole process has to be, I'd like to hit the ball hard a lot. That would be nice. Let me do that. And if it goes out, great. And that takes a lot of intelligence and patience and logic and acceptance. And it's kind of counterintuitive sometimes. And Javi does not have that part of it.
It's weird because that's kind of the disconnect for me with both of those guys. I had really great, like, football conversations with Jay, where you walk away and go, oh, this guy completely sees the whole picture. It's part of the reason that people like myself that defended Jay for a really long time did so, was because you go, no, he gets it, but then all of a sudden he doesn't. get it. And the same thing with Javier, where you go, this guy's baseball IQ is off the charts.
Yeah.
So how does he not understand that if he makes these pitchers come to him, he can hit the 500 feet bombs? It's so strange because you see guys that have an understanding of the mosaic of the game that they play, but can't put it into practice enough that they can take that next step in who they are as players. It's fascinating.
It is. They did a good job last night on the post game of pointing out for the White Sox, because now they're up 10-0 as the Tigers are just like diving at balls in left field and letting it go to the wall, and Adam Engel's hitting bases clearing triples. This game is over. It's another win for the White Sox, but the Twins had played the Tigers 11 times. This is the sixth time the White Sox have played them. Like, I know the goal is a World Series, so beating up on the bad teams in your division ultimately isn't going to be that satisfying, but it's such a huge part of why I still think they are going to win the division. Like, if the conversation is, will they win the division, I still think the answer is yes, because when you see them against the bottom of the division, it's like they're playing quadruple-A baseball teams.
Yeah, Lawrence, where are you on that? You're still at
Spings is out.
I'm out. I do not believe they're going to win the division anymore. I know these are two nice wins. Well, about to be three nice wins, and you're going to sweep a real bad team. But I just feel like overall the quality of play and the lack of intelligent play, and it's I can't buy that they're going to slug enough to come back and win this thing.
I've compared the 2022 White Sox to Mike Glennon, where
that's not good.
They feel like, to me, a team that thinks they deserve to win the championship. And I'm not sure that from an organizational standpoint or player to player that they're doing enough to reach their goals. Rick Hahn last week was talking about how important it was to see this team when it's whole. And I feel like he kind of keeps ignoring that that's never going to happen. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the baseball gods. I don't know if it's just a run of bad luck. But after he said that, you had three guys go on the IL, like almost immediately. And you're waiting for guys to come back, and they're good players. But it's, I know that the Danny like got on me a couple weeks ago because I was talking about like paying attention to what the Twins are doing in the standings. The most important thing is what the White Sox do as a team. And yeah, they're beating the snot out of these guys, and these guys stink. But the Royals have been very competitive in games against the White Sox so far this season. And when you get an opportunity, can you then take that and use it against a really good team? Maybe, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Astros series after them sweeping. Will they be able to keep their heads down and go in there and try to execute? Or will the thing that's caused this White Sox team so much pain and anguish rear its ugly head? Even in the Dylan Cease game, where Dylan Cease is throwing the ball in the center field. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still things about the White Sox that don't make me feel confident about them winning the division.
So you're picking the field. If you had to pick right now.
Yes, I would pick the field.
You're picking non-White Sox to win the division.
And I am intrigued by that Cleveland team because I don't quite understand how they're winning games.
Oh, man, they have so many good, smart, contact-related hitters. They got another one. This kid, Oscar Gonzalez, has been up for 17 games. He's got a hit in 15 of them. Him and Ahmed Rosario and, of course, Jose Ramirez, who has, what, 60 RBIs at this point, way more than anybody. And Tristan McKenzie is the new ace. And knew they were Dr. Sticks, they knew they were headed that way. They just they create and cultivate pitchers and have for a long time. They're always going to be competitive, even when they don't spend money and let great players leave. They find ways.
Today, Lawrence, we have a fun guest list. We have Roy Wood Jr. on the show. at 3 o'clock. Always hilarious, Daily Show correspondent with big sports opinions as well. And Mark Grody with a Bears report from mandatory OTAs at 5 o'clock today. But at 4 o'clock, Matt Eberflus coached on his defensive staff in Dallas from 2013 to 2017, and he was at Bears minicamp yesterday and today, speaking to the team as his guest. Rod Marinelli going to be on the show today at 4 o'clock.
That sounds like a solid show.
Yeah, should be a good one because we got day games in the next 2 days, so got to give their people money.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, I guess I'll see you guys Monday.
Yeah,
I guess so, right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
All right, man. NBA Finals will be done, right? Is Sunday night the possible Game 7?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thursday, Sunday.
So when we reconvene, we'll have an NBA champion.
Yes, and we'll talk about that, and I'll get my pucks off. I'm going to talk about the Stanley Cup Final, all that good stuff. And hopefully just get this air conditioning working. That would be key for
me. Tough time to have no AC, man.
It is really rough, but we'll manage. Boys, have a great show.
Thank you, Lawrence.
See you, Lawrence. Tanny's Open kicks us off. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.